One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Everybody, I'm Kim Holderness.
And I'm Ben Holderness. Oh my gosh, if you are listening to the Holderness Family Podcast right now and you downloaded it the day that it was released, also, happy Halloween.
It is Halloween, and Penn thought of a Halloween-themed podcast for us, but first,
yes,
we have some housekeeping.
Of course.
We are, okay, very loosely starting a book club here on this podcast. It's something I've been really, really dying to do, but we needed to finish our own book first, so we're in the review process of the final manuscript right now. But we have an episode coming out November 7th with Nikki Ehrlich. She's the author of The Measure. The book is amazing, and you can email your questions about the book to podcast@theholdernessfamily.com. It's not necessarily a new book, okay? But also, you can email other books you think we should all read together. I love the idea of a book club and a book club podcast. Maybe it's something one day that grows into a big Zoom that we have with the author so people can jump in and ask questions.
Yeah.
I would love...
Like a hang.
Like a hang, if you will. So that's it. So we're starting off, we're dipping our toe in, and we think that this is the book to do it.
Yeah.
And also, you should listen even if you haven't read the book.
Right. We're trying to make this as much like a regular book club as possible, including there's going to be a person at the book club who hasn't read the book. They're just there for the wine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not necessarily going to drink wine, but I'm going to represent that person who shows up and has no idea what the book is.
You should have a loose awareness, but we can explain the book.
Yeah, no, for sure. In fact, I want to read this book. You've been talking about it. I haven't had a chance to read it, but isn't there always somebody at a book club who hasn't read the book?
And I have to say, sometimes they ask the best questions.
Okay.
Because, well, you know, you can kind of zoom out and ask those, you know, there's really big questions.
What happens at book clubs when you realize the person hasn't read the book? Do they get kicked out, or do they?
So here's what happened. My sweet friend Paige, who I love and adore, years ago, this is, I think, before PC was born, her mother had been part of a book club, so she wanted to start a book club.
Sure.
And I loved that idea. There was a book assignment that went out. I show up. I think I was one of two people that read it because I love an assignment.
You're a rule follower.
I'm a rule follower.
Yeah.
Okay. And Paige, being Paige, she would ask questions. She did such a good job. And then she gave prizes for people who, you know, who she thought gave good answers. And she ended up giving this really great pair of sunglasses to somebody who hadn't even read the book but came up with a good answer. And I was like, the unfairness, the injustice.
But she asked good questions.
But yeah, I know. It was really,
do you think
really
she just looked up the questions online or something?
Oh, no.
No.
I mean, there's just like a smart person who had like a really good response and who gave a great answer about something.
That's
so
really funny.
And then during the pandemic, I joined a book club, but life for us during the pandemic was super busy, so I actually had to drop out because I didn't read the books. So you can stay informed with our latest announcements, special discounts, sales on our merch, and we have some new cool stuff coming out. Also, our new ADHD book, ADHD is Awesome, is we're turning in, I think we hit send for the final manuscript in next Monday, which is
I mean, it's almost done. It's so funny. So there have been many rounds, and so the final actual pack is happening now, and that's the terrifying one, because you realize that after this one, you can't just be like, oh, you know what else I thought of?
Yeah,
like you can't do that anymore. And so this past weekend has been a weekend of me like reading and then stopping and staring into the distance just a little bit, just to make sure that's exactly what I wanted to do. And if I want something different, and then I drive the publisher nuts with that whole thing.
Yes. Okay. We also have a new game coming out. It'll be available for Amazon in time for the holidays.
I can't believe that it's happening that quickly. This was just a figment of our imagination a few months ago. And we have such a great team that helps us turn these concepts into life.
Yeah. So sign up for our newsletter at theholdernessfamily.com/newsletter.
Nice. Okay. Housekeeping out of the way. The house is clean.
The house is all well, the as clothes opposed are to our put actual away. House, which is a
dump,
flipping disaster.
I feel like maybe that's okay because it's Halloween, and we'll just clean up afterwards when there's candy everywhere. You know what I mean? Yeah. We'll be good. Okay. So this is my idea for the podcast. We're gonna see how this goes. Okay, guys. it's titled "What Are You Afraid Of?" Right? And it's because I was sort of inspired by this section when we were doing research from Everybody Fights. We talked about these things that you don't talk about in marriages that fester. Mm-hmm. They fester, like in Halloween, something, they Uncle Fester, right? And if you don't get them out in the open and talk about them, it's not like they're going to go away. You can sweep them under the rug, but they're going to make their way back out. And there was a really cool study from UCLA by a doctor named Michelle Kraske. And she asked four groups of, I believe, participants, I think they were actually college students at the time, to be close to a tarantula. So let's start with that. Like, imagine being part of a study where they ask you to be close to a tarantula, even going as far as to touch them if they could. And so if you're a participant for this, like there's no way that Kim would sign up for this study.
Can I pause real quick?
Sure.
So I went to the University of Florida, and I'm sure every university that did this, but the psychology department specifically was always looking for participants for studies.
To mess with you.
And they would oftentimes pay.
Yeah.
Because you would have to, it was a certain amount of time. And I never had time to do it, but I always wanted to, because I always wanted to be one of these people. I was deeply curious about all of these things. The minute they would say, okay, I'm presenting you with a tarantula, I don't care what you're paying me.
You're out.
Kim is out.
You're not a tarantula person.
There are tarantula people, I suppose.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, continue.
Some people like them because they're furry and they're more like, they're like teddy bears.
But if you, okay, here's the thing.
If you see one close up.
If you see their eyes in a picture, you can't unsee it. Anyway, continue.
Okay, so she divided them into four groups. She asked the first group to say how they felt about being near the tarantula, like say out loud, like I'm terrified of that tarantula, right? The second group was asked to do some like self-talk, diminishing their experience, like, oh, it's not so scary. I'm bigger than it. I could put it on the floor and step on it. So group one, they express their real feelings. Group two, they'd say, oh, I can handle it, right? The third group was asked to say something that had nothing to do with the spider, like Doritos are better than Cheetos, right? Or
which is untrue, but anyway.
Okay.
I love Cheetos. Anyway, go ahead.
And the fourth group was asked to do nothing at all. They were asked to not say anything at all, not have any verbal reaction, just be in the room with the tarantula. Okay? So how do you think that this resulted? What
I know how it was resulted because I read...
I was asking our listeners. I was going to pause for a second.
I'm sorry.
But congratulations.
I'm like, I know.
I read the book.
I know.
As we've established, Kim does her homework. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Are you leaving time for people? You're leaving this space for people to respond?
No, I'm letting you guys just, I paused for a second.
Okay.
So the next thing they did was they let the participants go about their lives for a week and just kind of leave the place. And then they called them back and said, hey, would you come back and see the spider again? And the first group not only got closer to the spider, but they also got less stressed out about it because putting the fear into words had diminished their impact. Mm. And the fourth group, most of them said, I don't want to come back.
Right. So they pulled a Kim.
The group that didn't talk about it not only continued their fears, but they intensified them by not saying anything. And the first group who admitted how they felt about it came back and was better. So here's my project for today. I want to talk about, it was mainly for me, about things that I'm afraid of that I think, I don't know if I've ever said them out loud. And if I do, I think I might do better. I might be less afraid of these things and in the spirit of this study. Now, I want to clarify, I think there's fears and there's like overwhelming concerns. Mm-hmm. So this is, I'll give you an example. Like spiders isn't one of mine, but spiders is a good example of a fear or a phobia, if you will. I'm not going to talk about stuff that I'm like really scared of, that there's nothing I can do about, like global warming or violence in schools or, you know, screwing up my kids.
Or worlds at war.
Worlds at war. I like to think that a rational person is okay to be afraid of those things, and we're just gonna that's another podcast. This podcast are phobias and trying to get in touch with them in the spirit of Halloween so that we can go out into the scary night tonight and not be worried about these things.
I just wanna talk. I looked up, and by me I mean Anne Marie, our producer.
Right.
Looked up, and then she sent me a Google Doc with some really strange phobias. That I think...
I love it. I think this will help set the mood.
Okay, yeah. Ready?
Yep.
Trypophobia? Trypophobia.
Oh, can I try to guess what it means?
Trypophobia.
Is that a fear of tripping and falling on something?
Okay, it's T-R-Y-P-O-phobia.
Oh, I don't know.
Trypophobia. Is a fear or repulsion of repetitive patterns of holes. According to a 2018 case reported published in the journal Frontiers in Psychiatry, people with this condition may feel intense disproportionate fears of sights of objects like bubble wrap, honeycomb, and seed pots. We have a friend, Leanne, who has this because there was a flower arrangement that came.
Oh my gosh.
And had like that repetitive kind of, there was like,
yeah,
this,
they aerated it or whatever.
No. It was like a... I don't know if it's something you put in a kind of a flower, and it kind of had a honeycomb.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
It was sort of like this decorative honeycomb, and I had to put it outside. She was deeply disturbed by this decorative element.
Okay.
So there's this. Yeah.
That's a real thing.
And there is arachnophobia.
Something with spiders, maybe? Arach? No.
A fear of peanut butter sticking to the roof of your mouth. It's uncomfortable for me.
Yeah.
No, but I...
Oh, yeah. I love it. It's like a bite of peanut butter that's just always there waiting for you.
Okay, ready? This sounds like a joke. I feel like Anne-Marie's pranking me. Hippopotomonstrosesquipedalophobia.
And that's on the internet somewhere? So it's something about a number... And something about a hippopotamus.
It's the fear of long words. Is that real, Anne-Marie?
I think that's probably fake.
I don't know.
There's dodecaphobia or some sesquidecaphobia. There's something like fear of the number 13. Like there's actual, right. The names are way better than the actual fears, aren't they?
So in the spirit of just transparency, I strongly dislike making... This is a real thing.
Yep.
If you make a list of something hard I'm going through, and it's happened in a way that my husband has tried to be supportive of me, he's like, you have so much going on. You have this, I will have a panic attack. So I didn't really make a list for this because I have a fear of making
listophobia.
A listophobia.
You have listophobia.
Of listophobia. So I'm going to jump in with things here and there, but this is going to be how we support Penn today.
Great. So... Let's talk about this. Do you feel better about your fear of lists now that I
not at all
that you said
that's
that loud?
Where we're gonna go.
Okay, so we're not gonna do that.
No.
Got it. Okay, so here's me. I made a long list of things that I'm afraid of, and we can gloss through these or we can take time and talk about them. Some of them are stupid, like just they make no sense, and I'm almost afraid to say them out loud because I've never admitted this. And maybe some of them are justified. Mm-hmm. Right? Okay, are we ready to start? Mall railings.
That's real.
You guys, they're not high enough.
They're not high enough for you.
They're not high enough for anybody.
So who is the comedian says that he doesn't have a fear of heights, he has a fear of widths?
Stephen Wright.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's just not like the second floor of a mall is just like not wide enough, and your center of gravity is below your waist. So that's legitimate, babe.
Do you remember when we went up to the top of that mountain in France, when we went to the Alps and we went to the top of the Grand Monte, and it was like 10,000 meters or some ridiculous amount. Like Lola got motion sick or got altitude sickness, and we got to the top and it was the most beautiful view I will ever see in my entire life. And the freaking railing was 2 feet off the ground.
Yeah.
Like people from the Alps are tall, right?
Are they?
I would imagine. Or maybe they have a common sense of, but I was, you remember what I looked like? I was leaned over, hand like holding onto the railings, and I could not really enjoy the view. Mm-hmm. So, okay. I don't think it's just because I'm tall. I think I could be a foot shorter and still hate mall railings. I just don't think they're enough.
Okay.
And it's like, at a mall, you're not, it's not a 10-foot drop. It's like a 25, 30-foot drop.
Yeah.
Okay. Are we good with that? Okay.
Hey, hang in there. We're going to be right back.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Next up, away from home dingleberries.
What does that even mean?
Do you want to take a guess?
So when you're not home,
yeah,
and you did not wipe yourself mm-hmm. properly,
yeah, no. So which is listen, it's not that I'm not wiping myself properly, okay?
I'm sorry, I'm recovering from a cold.
So if you hear Kim coughing, that's in place of laughing.
I was trying to laugh, but it came out as a cough. I am okay. Equal parts horrified and also afraid.
So do you want to know more about it? Or do you want to move on?
I think the audience deserves to know more.
So listen, at home, okay, there's different types of ways to go to the bathroom. And again, this is my tarantula, so I'm saying it out loud. If you want to fast forward, it's fine. But there's some where it all goes where it's supposed to go. And there's some where a little bit just kind of doesn't go all the way where you're supposed to go. And you're away from home, so you don't want to be in there for 45 minutes, right? To make sure that last little bit goes down. Sometimes you do like a little wriggle or whatever, like to make sure
that it
does. And at home,
pen holderness.
At home, you just take a shower. You just like you're in the bathroom, just go get in the shower and you're fine. You can't do that at someone else's house. You can't go take a shower.
And if you do, they might be curious. Like we're in the middle of dinner and you're showering in their bathroom.
I mean, I would take it over the alternative, which is if you guess wrong and then you go in for cleanup, it doesn't get better. It gets worse. And then you've got a real situation on your hands.
So I will say.
And so for that reason, I usually just do it at home and I'll wait until I get home for that situation.
I don't know how to tell this story without identifying information, but I have a friend who's on the dating scene and she and a guy she had been dating maybe for a month or so. After they had some Mexican food, they go back to her house. It's all very innocent. There's no frisky business happening. But he goes to the bathroom for a long time. A long time. And then he comes out and he...
Taking a shower?
No, he just leaves.
Okay.
And then he texted her, like, this is the last text. He's like, I'm sorry, but I left a pair of underwear in your trash can in your bathroom.
Oh my God.
And he had obviously had an accident.
Right.
And he got like food poisoning. And he was not handled. And then that was just the end of it.
Okay.
So that's a real reason for fear. Also, who knew that you needed to bring backup underwear on a date? Okay.
Wait, he didn't have backup underwear. He went commando.
He left the house in jeans commando.
Yeah. 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 Okay.
But then honestly, at that point, you should bring him with you.
Yeah.
You should, and if there wasn't like a trash bag in there if there wasn't a liner,
right.
You bring the whole trash can with you and say, I'm sorry, you're never going to see me again. I'm taking this trash can with me.
Right.
And then just be like, I'm sorry, we can't recover from this.
Well, I mean, that sounds like that's what happened. They never spoke again.
They never spoke again.
How was the date otherwise?
I think she really liked him.
Oh, no.
And then I think there's like a certain point in your relationship when you can like fart.
Yeah.
And there's a certain point.
Not this one.
And so you and I, to be clear, are not open bathroom. Like we don't.
No, God, no. Why would you, especially not this
But like we don't like pee in front of each other. Like we share everything, but we keep some things private.
Yeah.
So this was like, it was just a bridge too far.
Yeah.
In a relationship was that new. It had the potential. I feel like if you and I, after a month, if you would have been like, hey, Kim, I need to borrow a pair of sweatpants.
Something's happened. We might still be together.
Okay. So I feel like this wasn't meant to be.
Yeah. All right. So have you also heard about these pocket bidets that they sell?
No.
Okay, so I'm going to keep listing. I want you to look it up online because one of my friends told me that they exist.
Okay.
It's
just a squirt bottle that you spray down your...
Probably.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Okay.
I just heard about it.
Okay.
Okay. All right, so I'm going to do two funny and then one that's like a little more substantial. So two funny then one serious. So I've done my I think mall railings and dingleberries are a little more cursory. So burning down my house.
Yeah.
Burning down my house. And... I just got done writing a book about this and I'm still tinkering with it, but people with executive functioning differences, better known as ADHD, at some point in their life are going to leave on a stove or an oven.
We interviewed Dr. Anthony Fauci and he left the stove on one time.
Yeah.
That's like literally the only thing he's,
I am, and it's because I'm doing something and then something else comes up and it requires all of my attention. We've talked about this on the podcast before. The ADHD brain is like a mixing board where the light mixing board where the dimmer switches don't work. The lights only go on and off. And so if you're doing one thing and you switch to the other thing, the prior task just turns off. And if it happens to be making bacon on a greasy pan, like you can... And it almost happened. I almost did this. My dog almost ran away. The house almost caught fire. My neighbor came in to help. She got cut because she was chasing after my dog. So I almost had to take her to the emergency room. Like all of these things have almost happened. And I feel like for this one, I feel like the tarantula, if I say this out loud, it means I'm concerned about it and maybe my chances will go down. But no matter how much I say it, no matter how much I worry about it, I feel like I'm going to be in this situation again. It scares the crap out of me because of my brain. Thoughts?
I feel like that's a very fair fear, and I'm glad you're aware of it.
Yeah. And I know it's frustrating for you. I know you're like, well, why don't you just not freaking do it?
And you're putting things in place. So for something like that, you set a timer when you start. Mm-hmm. So like that to me is a fix. So you've already sort of stepped in and fixed that. So anytime you turn on the stove, you set a timer.
Yeah. Okay. This isn't just Halloween. This is year round, but it seems appropriate. Clowns.
We just wrote a song about this.
Yeah, I've never liked clowns. And I'm sorry to the profession of clowns. I know there's like professional clowns who are meant to go out and entertain people.
What has happened to this? So first of all, back up. I just felt as if, our kids with their Halloween superstores and the catalogs that come to our house, there's so many Halloween costume options. When we were growing up, it was literally, you decided what you were going to be for Halloween on, the 30th. My mother did make costumes for us, there was planning involved. But in many cases, it was like, let's look around the house and throw some face paint on and, okay, you're a clown. So we asked our audience, just send us pictures of you and your 80s Halloween, like what you did in the 80s. I would say we got hundreds of pictures, 90% of them were clowns. And we did not specifically ask for clown pictures. Everybody was a clown. So Penn wrote this really funny song, original song about this. So should we play a clip of that?
Sure.
Hello, Gen X friends. Check out the photos you all sent in so that we can show our Gen Z kids that our Halloween was straight up demented. Because in the 80s, we were mostly
clowns.
Blood red lipstick.
Clowns.
Lifeless eyes.
Clowns.
Our dad did our makeup.
Clowns.
This one is with McDonald's fries.
Clowns.
1980s Halloween night. Mom gave us a shopping bag and a flashlight. It wasn't just our street, now we walked really far. It's a wonder none of us would run into a car. There was no Amazon, so mom and dad made a costume with whatever they had. Here's mommy's scarf, you're a pirate scallywag. Or hey, you are groceries, climb into this bag. We had these old masks we would put on our head. The plastic they were made of had a fair amount of lead. Then we put it on our face and we breathed into it. And it cut into our skin because they were sharp as shit. We thought that the masks made us all look cool. But looking back, they are total nightmare fuel. Strawberry shortcake.
Nightmare fuel.
Cabbage Patch Kids.
Nightmare fuel.
My Little Pony.
Nightmare fuel.
Smurfs.
Nightmare fuel.
Let's talk about the face paint, y'all. Back then it had a whole bunch of sus chemicals. We put them on our face and our eyes, and what's more, we got all sweaty and then it got into our pores. Our wigs were in no way flame retardant. There were quite a few fires that should have started. When you're posing with your grandpa on Halloween night and he's right next to your wig with a fully lit pipe. The costumes were made of some sort of polymer. It dangerously raised our body temperature. When we got home after doing our rounds, we had all lost about 17 pounds. But we couldn't eat the candy we all savored, because our mom had to check it out for razors. That is a true story. The candy razors were almost as scary as the
clowns.
Mom drove you to the hospital.
Clowns.
To an x-ray machine.
Clowns.
To make sure it didn't have any razors.
Clowns.
Really got nothing on a Gen X Halloween.
Clowns.
Clowns.
Then we had a funny circumstance this weekend. We love to go to the beach, and we went to the beach, and this restaurant had a haunted house. And we have a very, very sweet friend. He's in his 50s, and we were going to, you know, meet him for dinner afterwards. And we said, hey, why don't you come through? And he goes, absolutely not. He goes, just in case there's a clown in there, I'm not going to go. And I'm like,
through the haunted house.
Dude, you're in your 50s. It's not real. And he goes, absolutely not. Because apparently he's the nicest guy. He goes, if I see a clown, something kicks in. And he said, all of a sudden, I will have my knee on the throat of like a 16-year-old kid in a clown outfit. And he won't know how to control it.
He said it was, I think he was a hockey player growing up. Mm-hmm. And so that is a very real reaction.
He knows. He goes, I know this about myself. So yeah. I'm not going to put myself in position to have seen a clown.
But because he gets scared and something kicks
in. But he's a big dude. And, you know, there's not much you would think physically he'd be afraid of. But so what is it? I have no fear of clowns.
Right.
I think it's a little weird. And apologies again to the professional clown community. But tell me, what is your fear?
Well, okay, for him, it was he'd watched It. And
relatively new.
Pennywise. No, it was an 80s or 90s movie.
Oh, okay.
And Pennywise, I think, got to him. And that there's a whole generation of human beings who feel the exact same way. Like that clown tortured them, scared them forever. And now, you know, they relate to that when they see a clown. For me, I will never forget this. I think I was 5. And y'all, back then, that was 1979. Maybe I was 6. So let's say it was in the 80s because it would make sense. Back then, if you had a birthday party at McDonald's,
you were rich.
You were so loaded that you may as well have rolled in on a Rolls Royce, right? That was the crown jewel of birthday parties.
Gosh.
You're like, I'm going to get a freaking Happy Meal. I'm going to get a party favor.
You're going to play in the, was there a ball pit? No, they used to have a playground back then.
Yeah,
there
mine
was
had,
like a Hamburglar.
Yep. The one in Durham had a ball pit, right? And if you buy the deluxe package, Ronald McDonald himself shows up.
I have been to a couple McDonald's birthday parties. Again, they were my rich friends.
Yeah.
I don't know if they could afford Ronald McDonald. We never had one.
Okay, so, and he shows up like mid-party. You've seen Ronald McDonald on the posters. You've seen him on the TV.
Not much anymore. I think they've really limited Ronald McDonald because of this.
Yep. You'd seen him giving hope to children in the Ronald McDonald House, which came up right around then. So you're like, this guy is a rock star. He's going to show up. By the way, this was not my party. My parents could not afford to have a McDonald's party. It was at someone else's party. In rolls Ronald McDonald, like mid-birthday. And I looked up and Ronald McDonald was 8 feet tall, it seemed like to me. Just massive.
Yeah.
I don't know if this particular Ronald McDonald, trying his best, I think, but did not have the best makeup job. Some of the red lipstick had kind of run down to the side and it looked a little bit more like blood. And I just remember going, like screaming and running. I think I wanted to run, but we were in it's Durham. You can't leave a McDonald's if you're there. You have to stay in the McDonald's. And so I was stuck in this building with Ronald McDonald for another hour. So it wasn't just that initial fear, but he stayed. I couldn't ask him to leave. And since then I just haven't it's the makeup. I can't do clowns. I see them and I obviously I'm bigger now and I feel like I can handle it, but I don't like being around clowns and I'm so sorry to those people who do them.
I really do feel bad for the clown industry. I wonder what's happened to the clown industry. I, for one, because I grew up in Sarasota and there was always like a circus contingent, I actually really enjoyed clowns. Mm-hmm. I had like clown decor, I think, in my room at some point. So clowns were, something happened.
I mean, definitely being scared of clowns has become part of the pop culture. Isn't there a whole arc around that where like this woman's personal hell in The Good Place is a house entirely decorated by clowns?
That Good Place is a television show, by the way, which I strongly encourage you watch.
So lunges.
Lunges.
I'm afraid of lunges.
Tell me what you're afraid of.
And look, the person who does physical therapy with me has told me a million times that it's all in my head. So this is why I want to say it out loud. I am worried that when I put all of my weight on my already trick knee for a 6'5" guy, every time I do a lunge, that my knee's going to fall out of my body. Every time. And I know there's like a knees over toes, like YouTube guy who's probably someone's going to say, oh, you should watch him. It's going to be fine. I've watched all of it. I still am terrified that my body, almost like a Lego that you put too much pressure on, that just everything below my knees is just going to fall off of my body, skin and everything. And I'm just going to be left with no knees. I'm terrified. Like anytime someone asks me to do a lunge.
Does that happen a lot in your life? Are you doing a lot of lunges?
It seems like every time I go to work out, there's people doing lunges and they all look so good and their legs look so nice. And maybe I need new knees. I don't like lunges. I'm scared of lunges. How do you feel about lunges?
I am totally fine with a lunge. I enjoy a lunge.
Are women, you're definitely better at lunges than I am.
Probably.
Yeah. I think that as a whole, like women are just better like at balancing and you're
there's not
more
a lot
graceful
of exercises
and you've got
I'm
more core strength. Yeah.
Most exercises like challenge me, but none I'm afraid of.
Okay. Well, lunges is mine. Mm-hmm. Guys, cats.
You're not afraid of cats.
I kind of am.
You have an allergy to some breeds of cats.
Okay. This is going to rock your world a little bit. I do, but I also use that as a little bit of an excuse anytime I'm around a cat.
Really? Was there a canon event that triggered? Because you had cats growing up.
Yes. I know, they are loyal, wonderful animals. And yes. I know people who have them for pets. I have a good friend who had a cat for a pet for a long, long time. And it was like it was that person's best friend. There's an article that came out about 6 or 7 years ago that was titled, "If Cats Were Our Size, Scientists Said They Would Eat Us."
I mean, you could say that about dogs. You could say that about a hamster. Like I do feel as if most household pets, the only reason they're sweet to us is because they're smaller than us.
Yeah. But if I take a minute and just stare at a cat, if I just look at a cat, if I look at a dog, if I look at Sunny, I can stare at Sunny forever and think, oh, that dog will always be there for me. That dog is just good natured. That dog doesn't know what's really going on. It's waiting for food. But cats, I think, are just really smart. And I feel like if I have a staring contest with a cat, the cat always wins. Like it's not going to look away.
I do think a cat is way smarter than our dog specifically. Our dog is not that smart. I love a dumb dog, for the record.
I think it's possible that the cat, you know, if genetically a cat, they start breeding bigger cats, you know, like they do, like we saw that dog this weekend that was twice the size of me. Like if they bred a cat that was that big, Here's why they don't. It's too smart. It would take over the world. I'm scared of cats.
Okay, fair.
I'm scared of cats. Okay. Oh, dentists.
Also, that is one of the...
Is dentists a phobia?
I think that that's one of people... I think I don't have a top 10 fears here, but I think that a lot of people are.
Yeah? What's your take on dentists? You seem okay. Like, you do well.
I have to say, I enjoy going to the dentist because you really can't do anything while you're there.
Oh, yeah.
And there's not an expectation. So if I miss a phone call or a text or there's something urgent, like a work email comes through, I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm at the dentist. Like, I'll get a root canal and I'll enjoy it because I'm like, sorry, can't do anything. I almost view the dentist as a break.
Yeah. You know what my fear is? I want to get a good grade. Like, I don't want to get there and they're like, oh, you got a cavity and you really have missed some spots like behind there. And just the disappointment in their voices.
Mm.
So I am terrified every time I go to a dentist.
So maybe that's the fear. The fear is actually disappointing somebody, not going to the dentist.
Maybe. Okay. So dentists. Is snakes pretty common?
Snakes, I think, is like the number two.
Is it really? Okay. Snakes or eels. Just like
something without like a spine
or a shoulder, just anything
without shoulders,
So I went.
I think that's very common.
Yeah. I went snorkeling when I was 14 at John Pennekamp down in your old neck of the woods.
And that's in the Keys. That's near the Keys.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Stunning.
Yeah. I saw barracudas. We saw a shark and we were assured that the shark was not going to come anywhere near us. So just kind of to hover above. Beautiful shark like swimming through this water. And then I saw an eel. And eels don't give up. They're not scared.
Mm-hmm.
It was just kind of slithering. And it was moving so effortlessly. I feel like it's the fastest animal in the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it was an electric eel. I don't know what kind of... I don't think it was an electric eel. Whole other question about that. How do electric eels even exist? Like if you throw a toaster in the water, it just like immediately shorts out. How does an animal live underground with an electric charge? But someone's going to have to tell me that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just... Like my heart started beating and I couldn't... And probably because it reminded me of a snake. There was an incident earlier this year where I needed to dispose of a snake in our yard. And I did it, but not before doing it and it's in it living way longer than it was supposed to. Did not quit. So snakes are scary. I think
can I just say something?
Yeah.
I think enough people are afraid of snakes that we could stop this part.
Okay. I was just going to say I threw a woman in front of me because there was a snake in the pathway. Okay. Finally, for me, on my list, wet willies.
I don't know that anybody loves a wet willy, but talk to me about why specifically you are afraid of a wet willy.
Real quick, a wet willy is when someone licks their finger and sticks it in your ear.
Okay. Thanks for defining
it. Just in case you don't know, I got one from third to fifth grade, at least until my bully, because in sixth grade he was gone. My brother got one too. Same guy. He's afraid of them as well. It's so funny. Like we were hanging out somewhere like last week and he told me, I don't know why I brought it up, but he was like, yeah, I saw this guy. And it was like 5 years ago and he was at a convention and the guy in his mid 40s gave my brother a wet willy.
So I'm really, so with a bully, you want karma to sort of take hold and you kind of wish that this story ended with your brother's at this convention and the guy...
He apologized.
Yeah,
he realized what he'd done.
Or you hope it's like a Biff Back to the Future thing where he's like washing your car. And by the way, people washing cars, that's not a bad job. But you know what I'm saying? Like there was some sort of like he's in service to you.
Yeah.
At some... Like you hate that... This guy doesn't know the error of his ways. And didn't he say, he's reached out to you.
Oh, no, that's a different one. I had multiples. Multiple. I actually played golf with a guy who handcuffed me to a stool one time at a party. And he was like, first of all, he didn't realize he did it. And I obviously remembered and he apologized. And we were on the golf course and we were crying. Like when talking about it, and he was so incredibly like cool and apologetic, and that to me
felt
good.
Yeah.
I also, isn't it interesting that And I guess it makes sense. A lot of your bullies don't remember these things nearly as well as you do. They were probably doing them to compensate for something else that was going on in their lives. Mm-hmm. And so you have to have compassion for them when it comes to that. My dad always told me that. He's like, anytime someone is a bully to you, think about why they are a bully to you. And the answer almost always is there's something not going on right outside of there.
We've had a situation with one of our kids, and you can like as an adult, I can look at what this person is doing or has done to our child and other children, and I can look at this child's life and say, oh, I get it. Mm-hmm. Like I see why this child is acting that way and talking this way to other children. And now it's all over text and social media, so it's so easily documented. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things where it's we didn't even really have to step in. The school stepped in because so many other people, it was easier, quote unquote, because it was so well documented. But I'm sorry you had that wet willy experience.
Yeah, I'm like sitting here thinking about it right now, and I think it might be the thing I like the least in the world. Honestly, you should be like, it's fine. You probably have things in your ear that help wash it out. But yeah, thank you for.
I hope this was helpful for you to list out your. I'm not going to call anything strange. You're very legitimate, maybe not so stereotypical fears. Was this helpful for you?
It was. Thank you for tolerating it. I know that listing things is not your favorite thing, but I do have some phobias that when I started this exercise, I didn't realize that I'd never shared, and it does make me feel better. Like I'm honestly way less afraid of cats. Now you help me with cats.
Oh, see,
because you made the point about like, you know, it's you know, dogs, if they were big, they would probably do the same thing. Like it's just,
so now you're just afraid of everything.
No, the point is I don't need to go down that road because cats aren't bigger than us. No, so why am I sitting here worrying about cats being bigger than us? Because I'm just going to chalk them up to be brilliant, conniving, deceptive animals.
Yeah.
That I just don't ever trust, and
well,
that's okay.
Well, thanks for listening, you guys. And in the comments, I'd love to hear some of your funny fears. I mean, we all, by the way, are walking through this life with some very, very legitimate things to be afraid of. We all have those. But I would love to hear, are you afraid of the repeating pattern of the honeycomb? That one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's legitimate.
Wait, does that mean she can't be near a pickleball?
I think she doesn't like it.
Because of the holes?
Yeah.
Oh, that's really sad. Because
I mean, I think she's played it, but I don't think she...
Like, would stop and look at the ball.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I hope you have a good day.
Bye. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.